Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Welcome to today's episode of Relatable Finance. Today's topic actually started with a client conversation. It got its name, which I sort of created from an investment study that I remember reading about, and then kind of evolved from there and really created a big snowball effect and got me thinking lots about it. And I gave it the name, the 90-10 rule.
Holy cow, Shane. I'm filled with so much excitement and anticipation, I can barely contain myself.
That's what I was hoping for, Joe. So back to the 90-10 rule. Like I said, it started with a client comment that really boiled down to, in order to really change their life, they would have to make a lot more money. It was a wealthy client, and let's just say making 2% versus 3% isn't going to push the needle at all. 2% to 10% might start pushing that needle. So it got me thinking about small things or small changes and whether or not they really affect our lives or not. This basic framework of kind of large returns or small returns or kind of core values versus extra things. Like I said, in addition to remembering that study, which was actually an asset allocation study, came to my creation of what I call the 90-10 rule.
So after Shane told me about his magical creation 90-10 rule, I had to break it to him that he may have his own version, but he's not the one who created this rule initially. I believe it was popularized by Stephen Covey, the well-known author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Despite Shane's blatant attempt to take credit for it, Covey's concept can be really helpful in allowing you to view things from a better perspective, and so can Shane's. Covey's principle itself states that 10% of life is made up of what happens to you, and 90% of life is decided on how you react to it. Since a lot of things in life don't happen exactly how we want them to, we can eliminate a lot of stress in our lives by responding to things in a more positive light.
Joe, I'm grateful to you for crushing my dreams of creating this brand new revolutionary idea, but I do look at it in a different way from Mr. Covey. So let's get into it. My 90-10 rule is basically this. For many, many situations in life, if you satisfy the basic need, which is accomplishing or reaching that main thing, that's 90% of the goal. That gets you there. Once we hit that 90% or that basic need, we should all be happy or satisfied. If we look at having a car would be the example of the 90%. Having a nice car, a Tesla versus a Ford, would be that 10%, okay? As we move forward, I think we probably focus a little bit too much on the 10%. We focus too much on the car we drive rather than having a car to drive. Either way, that car is gonna get us from A to B. I'm not saying that 10% things are bad things, but really the takeaway being find the 90% things in life, identify them, and don't focus on the 10% in those areas. Then do the same with the 10% areas of life, focus on them, and kind of live a life accordingly.
Yeah, so I was really struggling with this, but nonetheless, I think it can be boiled down into this. You know, going back to Shane's example, we would definitely recommend that you shoot for the highest possible raise possible. We would definitely recommend that you contribute as much as you can to the 401k, or try to have the highest match that you can, or even if you can, you know, if it's something that you really like, you know, try to drive the Tesla. But the point of this is you can't have 100% for 100% of things in your life. You need to prioritize things. And if you're going to stress out about every single thing, Shane's ratio is that you get frustrated about 10% when really most of your life is the 90%. And I think I have a relatively decent example of with this. I recently went to Universal with my family. We had, the family as a whole had 5 days there, but I only had three. There's three parks at Universal: Islands of Adventure, the initial Universal park, and then the water park. And so the first day we went to the Islands of Adventure, and we were there all day, and we only rode like 5 rides, and the lines were really long. And so I thought, you know what? I don't get to spend as much time with them as I like, and I want to make the most of this. So the second day, I went all in, and I bought the Express Pass. And we rode every single ride possible. By 5 o'clock, we were back at the hotel, got to spend some time at the pool. Now, in retrospect, what I really wanted to do is spend as much time, quality time, with my family. And I would have done that if I had I not bought the Express Pass. We would have sat in lines together. We would have spent quality time together. There's really not that much value added by doing the Express Pass. Nonetheless, it was important to me, and that's one area where I thought, hey, this makes sense for me to go and, you know, splurge on the Express Pass, because it was important for me to make the most out of that day.
Yeah, and I think that's a great example showing that there are situations or parts of life where it's definitely worth it. So you mentioned a couple of these examples already, but just based upon what we talk about most of the time and what we do, one way to kind of help your financial situation is saving more, and one way to do that is by making more. So you mentioned compensation. So if we look at what you get in terms of a raise, so a 3% raise versus a 4%. So it's a very small difference. I feel like a lot of times people will be upset because they were expecting, call it 4% in this case, and they only got 3. And the 90-10% rule comes into play here, that, you know, having the job, getting a raise in general is kind of the main thing. That's the 90% part. The fact that you didn't get the raise that you hoped for or wanted is kind of that 10% part. And by no means am I trying to say you shouldn't push for raises or make more money. I'm all for everybody making more money, but it's really looking at those areas in life and figuring out whether it's worth it or not to stress about 1%, or if it's worth it just to move on, work harder, and hope for a higher raise the next year. Similar to 401ks, I think another example where, as long as you're contributing, saving to your 401k, that's kind of that 9% part, 90% part, whereas the amount that you're saving really gets into that 10% part.
Yeah, and this can be hard. I mean, it's just part of life. We, you know, we have creeping expectations. Some things are, you know, by, to a large extent, you know, the amount of the raise or the amount to which your company will match your 401k or certain things in life are just out of your control. So it's you shouldn't focus so much attention on them, because the value added from focusing on them isn't that much, and sometimes they're just out of your control. Nonetheless, you know, relating this to investments for a moment, a big mistake that I often see with young investors or people who are starting out is that they want to try and hit a grand slam home run with whatever investment dollars that they're trying to deploy towards investment. They're thinking, I want to pick the one stock that has the biggest return potential, and that's what I want to put all my dollars in. And that, you know, we don't want to discourage you from trying to identify those types of things, but that's really hard. There's a lot of people out there who have a lot more knowledge than you do, are spending a lot more time trying to identify these opportunities. So the chances of you stumbling across this amazing opportunity at the right time is relatively slim. So that would be an example of you spending 10% on something when most of the benefit of you investing would simply be accomplished by putting in an S&P 500 index fund. The returns are likely to be relatively close. You're really reducing your risk. You're accomplishing most of that objective by just using the simple approach. But again, you got to steer away from trying to really hit the grand slam.
Yeah, and it is a lot of things where it's the 10% that's the exciting part. You know, driving a Ford to work every day probably isn't that exciting. Driving a Tesla to work every day probably gets your blood boiling a little bit. Buying the S&P 500 with an extra $5,000 versus buying $5,000 worth of some crazy biotech stock you heard about that could quadruple in price over the next 2 days, probably a little more exciting. But a lot of the things that we talk about is kind of the slow and steady approach, and this is definitely one of them. And when you're making those types of decisions, you're really not taking into consideration risk. If you're just, you know, buying a little bit of a stock, maybe you don't need to. If you lose that money, it's probably viewed as gambling. Either you're going to strike it big or you're going to lose it. But really, when we're looking at this from an investment perspective, we're looking at both sides of the coin, what we can make in terms of return, but also what risk it is, kind of the idea of that ratio of the 90-10.
Yeah, so let's, you know, as Shane mentioned, we need to consider risk when we're talking about investing. So let's consider two options. Option one has an expected return of, you know, 10% a year, but a downside of 50% if it doesn't work out, meaning that it's going to go down by 50% if things don't work out as we expect them to. That's option one. Option two is we have an expected return of 4%, so quite a bit less than option one. But worst case scenario, it's only going to be down 3% in worst case scenario. So if you're trying to maximize return, option one is clearly the best solution. But if you're looking at it from a risk to reward perspective, and depending upon your situation, your goals and objectives, what you're trying to achieve in the current market environment, option two may be a lot much more appropriate approach when you take into consideration the risk reward factor. And we, you know, there are a number of ratios to consider in the investment industry. One of the ones that we really try to focus on and maximize is the Sharpe ratio, which takes the expected rate of return and divides it by the standard deviation. The higher the Sharpe ratio, essentially the more efficient you are being with the risk you're taking. It's basically telling you the unit of return per unit of risk you took.
So another area that this can probably be used quite a bit is budgeting. So what you spend, what your budget looks like. We work with lots of clients on this, and it's definitely going through this with clients. You look at it, and there's certain areas that you're not able to cut. I look at grocery spending. Just because you spend a lot on groceries doesn't mean you can buy half as much food if you have a family of five. But if we're thinking about some of those areas you possibly could cut or just be more mindful of, I like using the idea of going out to dinner. So going out to dinner and spending $200 on a meal with your wife may be a lot of fun. You enjoy yourself. But compare that to, you know, going and getting burritos for $10. So clearly a big, big difference. Sometimes going out to eat is fine. Sometimes the burritos are fine. But thinking about what areas, again, you want to do that can probably help you slim down your budget a little bit, get you spending in the areas you should be. Back to your example of Universal, you know, that was probably money well spent, as opposed to, you know, you taking out everybody to a really lavish breakfast and spending all that money on an area like that.
Yeah, and I think a really important point here is that this isn't going to be the same for everyone. Everyone's going to have a slightly different 90-10 ratio, and it doesn't have to be 90-10 either. It can be an 80-20. It can be a 75-25. What it is meant to be is a process or a procedure that allow or a framework that allows you to view certain things. And again, you can't have 100% on 100% of things in your life. So by viewing it from this perspective, it's going to allow you to say, you know what, I'm okay with just the middle of the road on this aspect because it really doesn't bring me a whole lot of happiness if I spend the extra money. But then in these certain areas of my life, these are areas that are really, you know, important to me. Maybe not important to you, Shane, but they're important to me. And these are the areas that I want to spend my money on or that I want to go a little bit above and beyond where I should have. That's a way that allows you to better budget your dollars, because we all, you know, need to spend a little bit of money to have some fun, but we're all different in how we may approach that.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. So just to kind of recap this, it definitely is something that we think can be used in a lot of different areas. Like you just said, you only have so much money. Where are you going to spend it? You only have so much time. Where are you going to spend your time? You only have so much energy and worrying, all this stuff. Just make sure you're spending that stuff in the correct places. And hopefully I become famous for my idea of the 90-10 rule. Maybe that sparks your memory a little more often to think before you're making some of these decisions. Like you said, kind of find those areas where you're a 90% person or a 90% category, and the 10% categories, making sure you're doing it correctly. And then in a lot of these areas, just making sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. So we talked about it from an investment standpoint, making sure you're getting the best return for your risk, but using this in many different areas. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Relatable Finance. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at podcast@provwealth.com or check us out on Twitter @financepodcast.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision. It does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. diversification, and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.